Let's put our hands together and say this was our Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in your written word. Clarity comes to our hearts and our minds as the word is taught us, as regards discipleship and being a good one in the local church. We walk in the light of it. We receive its admonition today and always. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at being a good disciple in your local church. Hallelujah. And it's a continuation of a series we started some years back, Discipleship Seminar. So it's just a continuation of Discipleship Seminar. Hallelujah. So this is the second section. We started last week, right? Hallelujah. So a quick one. Last week we started. Let's say a few things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Second Timothy quickly. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 3. From verse 15 it says, And from a child, it says, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Did you see that? From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee, what? Wise. Did you see that? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He now says, all Scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It says, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's see a few things. It says, a detail from Matthew 28 again. Matthew 28 was in my notes. Amen. I did that last week. And I don't know what I'm doing again today. Okay. Well, I just have a little to do it today. Hallelujah. So it says, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Now it says, which are able to make thee wise. Look at what is able to make thee wise. That's the word. The word wise there is the word sophizo in the Greek. Sophizo, to be skillful. Hallelujah. To be skillful. This will not be the first time you'll find that scriptures are able to make one wise. Hallelujah. You know, if you could place this side by side with Joshua 1:8 and see, and it looks as if Paul is writing from Joshua. He says, look at Joshua 1:8. God speaking to Joshua, he says to Joshua, he says, this book of the law, referring to the scriptures of Moses, shall not depart out of your mouth. He said, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Only then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous and have good success. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, you know, he shows Timothy that the scriptures is what he has to make decisions. Hallelujah. To be what I call skillful. Hallelujah. So, you know, God turns and points Joshua to the words of Moses. Exactly what Paul is doing here today. He says, thou art known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise. Hallelujah. So, be so skillful. A word for skillfulness. Hallelujah. That is able to make thee wise. Unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So when they use the word there, Holy Scriptures, hallelujah, Holy Scriptures there is referring to Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Genesis down to Malachi. So you see, what is Paul doing to Timothy is pointing Timothy to where? Genesis down to Malachi. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Now in verse 16, it now says all scriptures has grammar. The scriptures in verse 15 is grammar, content. It says the content, so when the difference between grammar and grammar or graphy is the one part that grammar deals with specifics. Now he tells him that the content of scripture, that's what he's telling him, it will lead to salvation. Hallelujah. He tells him that the content of scripture will lead to salvation. Hallelujah. He now says all scriptures, watch that, all scriptures, past graphe, is given by the inspiration of God. Now when you use the word all scriptures there, is Genesis down to Malachi. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You see that?
But doctor, we're going to get to this shortly today. But reproof of correction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're seeing that. Now, the question you ask yourself is, why is Paul pointing Timothy back to scriptures? Do you see that? He tells him, chosen, go back to scriptures. He tells him, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. So the question we asked ourselves last week is, who is Timothy? Look at what we saw last week, chapter 2, from verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. He says, a workman. He's talking to a pastor. He says, a workman. That's 2 Timothy 2. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Now, I told us that that statement, dividing the words of truth, the totomio, logon aletheia, is the word that is used when you use the word of truth there, is the word that refers to the scriptures together, Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. He calls it the words of truth. So, he tells him to be diligent to present himself, right, as one who is approved by God. He says, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly divided or totomio, how you handle scriptures. So therefore, he also points again Timothy to go back to what Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. So the question we ask ourselves is, who is Timothy? We said, first of all, last week, Timothy is a pastor. Was that what we said? We said, Timothy is a pastor. But before he is a pastor, he's first of all who? Paul's disciple. Do we see that? It's Paul's disciples. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we saw this last week, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3. Okay, I'll start from verse 2. It says, unto Timothy, my own son. Do you see that? In the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So he calls Timothy his son, right? And then in verse 3, look at what he says in verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, where I went into Macedonia. So that means he was the resident pastor in Ephesus. Did you see that? That I've charged them that they teach no other doctrine. I need you to see that closely. So he's both a teacher, right, and a disciple. Hope you are saying that. So what does he point Timothy to? Is it to newspaper, magazine, to Facebook, or to the Bible? The Bible, right? So it's a pattern. I showed us last week. I told us that it's a pattern. When you get to Luke 24, Luke 24 verse 44, look at what Luke said Jesus did. Luke 24 verse 44, I'm going to start from Luke today, and then we'll get back to Matthew. Luke 24 verse 44. It says, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Now all things must be fulfilled when returning the Lord Moses. Did you see that? He don't prophet any Psalms concerning me. What Luke has brought out is the fact that Jesus, how Jesus taught them when he was with them, was not teaching from his brain. No, he was teaching from scriptures. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, Genesis, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So did you see that? Concerning me. So Jesus, while he was with them, and in the resurrection, taught the same thing from the Genesis. Hope you're following. From Genesis. And then in verse 45, he now gave them instruction. Okay, but I'm sorry. Look at what he now did. Look at what that led to. Verse 45, he said, he opened his mouth and said that he might comprehend the scriptures, and thus it is written, 46, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins were preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So that means when he now gave the instruction, we can therefore say the instructions to be instructions of the scriptures. Right? Right? Let's go a bit to Mark. Mark 16. Look at how Mark puts it. So you find that pattern. He's going to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Say, they will take up. Come on, why am I missing this one? Okay. Mark 16. Okay, you say, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Say, they will take up serpents. And if they drink any
definitely it shall not help them. So they will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was lifted up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with and performing the wonders and signs. Did you see that? So Mark will call the gospel, I mean will call what Luke will call preach the revelation of sin, he calls it the gospel. So that's what you find as the gospel is what? The God's remission of sins. How God will remit sins. Hallelujah. So John will now say, well, when one believes, his sins are forgiven him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So that means that the preaching of the gospel, the man who preaches the gospel is standing in the stead of God. Or you put, God is standing. Our God is crying out the stacks in the edge through man. Hallelujah. Amen. And we said this instruction to the instructions of the scriptures. Was that what we said? Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Instructions of the scriptures. Now we said it's a pattern you will find. It's a pattern you find. Right from the Genesis. That everyone who will write, every writer of scripture will write it from a predecessor. Hallelujah. So it's as if when you want to read the Bible, you have to read it backwards. You see that? You have to read it backwards. Because every writer of the New Testament is quoting the Old Testament. They're not writing something new. So you say, Old Testament is gone. No. Jesus read the Old Testament books. Hope you are seeing that. Jesus read the Old Testament books. He didn't say, oh, the Old Testament book is gone. No. He read it. You remember that? Oh, someone will say, no, the Old Testament book was not gone when Jesus was alive. The Old Testament book was gone when he died and resurrected. When he resurrected, he said, these are the words I spoke to you, but I said unto you, that all things must be fulfilled. We were written in the law of Moses, the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. So that means, even in the resurrection, he still read Moses. Hallelujah. So at no point, someone said, when he said it is finished, the Old Testament book. What kind of nonsense is that? Don't say that. Amen. That is ignorance gone on rampage. You will not, don't say that. Hallelujah. It's a car without an engine. Don't say things like that. Glory to God. So we say we'll find it as a pattern in scriptures. A pattern in scriptures where you have to write for Moses. Everyone. Hallelujah. And that tells you how to read your Bible from Moses. So we'll find it in the writers of the synoptic. We saw all that. Matthew 1:1. Matthew calls what he's writing. He sets that pace for you. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, he said the book of the genealogy, generation, that is the word Genesis of Jesus Christ. He sets that pace for you to see. That is it from the Genesis. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. Genesis. So you have to get back to the Genesis again. Hallelujah. And I told you last week, I said you'll find the whole lot in Matthew where he will use the word that it might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. It might be fulfilled. So it tells you, you have to read again from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So every writer of scriptures, every writer of the New Testament book, aren't telling you to read the New Testament book without the Old Testament book. No. They're telling you, read the New Testament book and also go back to reread the Old Testament books. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it points you back. Hallelujah. Let's see Mark. Mark 1. Verses 1. Look at what Mark says. Mark 1:1. It says the beginning, okay. Another shade of word for Genesis. It said in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face. We shall prepare thy way before thee. That is Malachi. It says the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Isaiah. Did you see how he writes? So you have to go back and reread Malachi, then to Isaiah, and then to the Genesis. Did you see that? It's pointing you again back to the Old Testament book. Look at Luke. Luke 1. It says, for as much as many have taken in hands to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So he's telling you that he's telling you first of all, he wasn't there when this event unfolded. Right? But what he's writing from eyewitness, and their accounts will be accounts from the Genesis. That's what he's making you see. Hallelujah. So again, he's pointing you to the Genesis. And in Luke 24, he shows you again that it is all from the Genesis. Hope you're following me. So here the word Alke. Alke means the beginning, Genesis. Hallelujah. John 1. John 1 is very explicit. It says, in the beginning was the word. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word. Hallelujah. And the word was with God, and God is the word. And the word was God. Isn't that? Glory to God. Same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. There was anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Now let's get back to Genesis. To Matthew 28. Pastor, we skipped Matthew. No, I didn't. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. From verse 18. It says, Jesus came out and said, all authority, power has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, we are dwelling on what he says, go therefore and teach all nations. We say that word teach all nations is the word in the Greek matitio. Matitio is a word that means to make disciple. Make disciple. That's the word. To make disciple. Teach all nations. Hallelujah. It says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Now, when you want to make disciples there, is that word that we saw last week? Oh, I'm back on my phone. Okay, is that what we saw last week? That means to enroll one into a citadel of learning. How you enroll one into a citadel of learning. And we said it has a noun. The noun is the word matitis, used for a learner, an apprentice. A learner and an apprentice. Something again we said last week that mustn't be lost on us, because we have to go through a few things, is the fact that Jesus didn't coin the word. Some people say, when you hear disciple, it means it's for only the church. It's not true. Amen. Jesus didn't coin the word. It was a word in their day. I wanted to say it was a garbage in their day, but I shouldn't use that. That would be too much. It was a word in their day. Hallelujah. Just like saying student. That's what it means, student. It's students, particular to the church. So disciple is the word student, apprentice in their day. Hallelujah. And we saw that it was not just Jesus that had disciples. Amen. John had disciples. Something I forgot to show us was that the fact that the Pharisees too had disciples. Hallelujah. They had disciples. Gamaliel. Paul was Gamaliel's student. I didn't want to make the mistake to say Gamaliel was Paul's student. Paul was Gamaliel's student. Hallelujah. So they had disciples. So not only Jesus that had disciples. Disciple means a follower, an apprentice, one who learns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we also looked at the fact that the word disciple was from the Hebrew word limud, right? We find it in Isaiah. One who learns or who is being trained. And we saw what John's baptism was about. Did we see that? John's baptism, was it water or preaching? Preaching first, right? So the water was a sign to the preaching. So John's baptism, and that's very important to us to see. First, you see, John's baptism wasn't the water, it was the preaching first. Hallelujah. It was the preaching first. Very right. It was the preaching first. Glory to God. I shared something on our WhatsApp handle. I told her that someone said, without water baptism, you can't get to heaven. And another person responded and said, then, in which water was the thief on the cross? That's very harsh. You don't call him thief on the cross. He's no longer a thief on the cross. He's a brother in Christ. Hallelujah. So the brother on the cross, because he got saved on the cross. connected with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't know God said? God said. So on which water was he baptized into? And Jesus said, today I said to you, you shall be with me in paradise. Amen. Glory to God. And when they use it, oh, let me not get it. Amen. When you use the word paradise, paradise is very important. But you do mean paradise. So what is paradise? It's paradise. It's paradise purgatory. It's not only purgatory, it's gutter. It's talking nonsense. So, sir, somebody has asked me that thing. He said, what is the Christian doctrine for purgatory? I said, what is soil? Is was there any scripture verse on that? He said, Abraham's bosom. Woohoo! Don't say nonsense. Abraham's bosom, you know, I've taught us that you must learn the law of two or more mention, right? Right? Apart from Jesus, where else do you find the word Abraham's bosom in scriptures? Nowhere. So it is not a doctrine. Never make it a doctrine. Everything that should be doctrinal must have corroborations in scriptures. So that means, if it is just enough to find the word Abraham's bosom, you can't make a doctrine. Because you don't even know what Abraham's bosom is. You don't even know why Jesus actually gave that part. So don't use the word purgatory. Purgatory is where you go before you now go to. Kind of nonsense stuff like that. Amen. Don't use purgatory. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? So, that brother on the cross, the side of the thief, no, he's not. He wasn't. Amen. Amen. Okay, we have to say Barnabas was a thief who became. No, Barnabas is a child of God. He's a brother. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Okay. So, we also ask ourselves some questions. Who can become a disciple? Who can become a disciple? Only church supporters? I think so. I think so. I think it's only church supporters. Some red devils have no kingdom of God in their lives. And some never walk alone that will walk alone this evening. Amen? You don't see it as we got. Glory to God. Amen. Come here. Have you been baptized into the kingdom of heaven? Call her!
Have you been baptized into the kingdom of heaven? Who's called this someone? Never been. I don't want to answer that. What's that? Never want to do that. What you do tonight? Never answer that.
She has no fear. She said it to my front. Never walk alone. What do you know about boy? She said never walk alone. Amen. I know people that will go to a fire. Michael, which club is about? Come and sit in front. Your kingdom of heaven is big. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's continue. Okay. Yeah, that's some people who go and show mindy jersey for their children. And say, I want her or him to be a child of God. How can? I reject it in your life. You never show mindy jersey for your children. Amen. Never give your child asthma jersey. How can you give it to a child? The first thing I give a child is ammunition. Amen? Show the person love. Sky is blue. You say, what about Barcelona? Barcelona. Do you think we are building Babel here? Amen? Let's go back to scriptures now. Where are we? So who can be a disciple? We say everyone. There's no description, right? We saw the rich, right? We saw the poor.
So you measure for years. Peter never had money.
Let me show you that. So Peter is always
not having money. Here we go. We have the rich, we have the poor,
we have Jesus' brothers, all those who were his brothers. You see that? So,
when we get to Acts of Apostles, we saw many, the whole city, many God saved. You see that? So it includes everyone.
Hallelujah. Everyone can be a disciple when they believe. So, how does one become a disciple? When he believes. You see that? Everyone can when they believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So did we say, you also said discipleship is not what we will graduate from. I know some people want to wear robe and cook rice. They are graduating from discipleship class. No, it's not a class where you graduate from. It is what the local church is. The local church is a discipleship class. Did you see that? The local church is a discipleship meeting. Hallelujah. It's not where you graduate from. We saw a pastor who is still a student. Did you see that? A pastor who is still a disciple. The things which you have learned from me. 2 Timothy 2:2. Now, the word, the word which you have learned from me. Which you learned from me. Sorry. Which you heard. Now, we use that. We saw that word. When you use the word heard there, it's not used for a past tense. Though the English had it in past tense, the word used for a present continuous tense. Hallelujah. So the things which you've heard, which you are hearing, or the things which you've heard, which you are hearing, and which you will hear from me. That's what it means. Hallelujah. I said the same commit to faithfulness. So he's still hearing. So discipleship is not what you finish for. No, it's where you stay all your life. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So some people saw in Acts of Apostles 19 into Acts 20. In Acts 20 verse 17, Jesus met 12 guys in Acts 19. He taught them for the space of 2.5 years, morning and night, every day. Right? You see that? They taught you morning and night every day for 2 years. For the space of 2 years, he taught them. Then in chapter 20 verses 17 into 18, Acts of Apostles chapter 20. I'm trying to be fast because we have a lot to cover today. Acts 20 verses 17. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day. Now, watch this. He said he called for the elders of the church. The elders of the church. So at this point, they are now elders. Elders there means they are now overseers, right? They are now responsible. We say, which can be likened to a what? Come on. It's a leader, right? A PCU leader, right? They are now leaders of the church. They're not leading the pastors. They're not leaders. That means they don't have disciples. Did you see that? So what has happened? Have they graduated from discipleship class? No. They are still disciples. That was why Paul could call for them. Hallelujah. They are still Paul's disciples. That's why he could call for them. But don't you find that they are still Paul's disciples? They are not Paul's disciples. They don't have disciples. Did you see that? So what is the essence of martyrdom, of discipleship? Matitude is enrolling a child in a standard of learning where he grows up to be a master. Do you see that? Amen. He starts and he becomes a master. That is to say, the same thing for which he's a discipleship. He begins to do it to other people while still being inside. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So that is what these guys are already doing. They don't have disciples under them. So Paul calls them elders. In verse 18, he calls them overseers. Is that 18 now, Joe? Sorry. In verse 28, he calls them overseers. Do you see that? Overseers. So that means they are overseeing lives. And that becomes the point of discipleship. You must grow to oversee lives. That will be maturity. I've taught us about spiritual growth. If you are not overseeing lives, you are not maturing. And it's very vital. It's very vital. A disciple of a local church must grow to start having disciples. You can't be a disciple without a disciple all your life. You always want people to care for you, to bring you to church. You are never bringing anybody to church. You are never taking care of any. You've never taken care of any life in your life. What kind of life is that? Bring me to church. And you don't come to church because they did not come to call me. What kind of nonsense is that? 4 years, they did not come to call you.
In fact, 2 months, you shouldn't be saying that. After 2 months, you should start bringing people to church.
Hallelujah.
That is maturity. You are maturing.
How many of you want to give birth to a child? We came after 7 days to do naming ceremony. Everybody danced. We danced, children. We got a child. Everybody's dancing. What is the name? The name will be Dad. Oh, wonderful child. Oh, and they said, we want to do 4 years birthday. Everybody, the same people now came for 4 years birthday. I said, bring our child. We now went to bring the child the same way the child was when the child was 7 days old. Then brought the child with, what else did you wrap the child? We sure. So these are 4 years old, but everybody will run. Say, for what? Why? Because in the mind of everybody, we expect that 4 years, the child is already working. Right? We expect that the child is already maturing. The child is able to call his name or her name. Hallelujah. So if by that age, we can't hear that from the child, then there is a problem. Right? There's a problem. So it is a problem to when a believer. It's a problem when a believer doesn't have a disciple. 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 10 months. A pastor should be worried. The person who is discipling you should be worried. You can't come to join and then they call you on phone. This is why I didn't go to there because nobody called me. Wow. It's a problem. Hallelujah. See, they did not send me text message. How many of you want to have a child? At 20, the child is telling you, Daddy, buy me sweets. You slap the living hell out of his head. What's that? Buy me sweets at 20 years. What's the name of that? Buy me sweets. There's a problem. Because you expect the child to mature. Hallelujah. Go with the church. In fact, at some age when you are small, you say, buy me the seed. God will buy you the seed. Right? But when you get to something and you say, buy what? I say, it's as if you're not busy. Go and wash plates. Iron. Do this. Clean it. Amen. I saw a video of a mother and a child. The child just clocked 7. And on the 7th birthday, bam. The mother now put it online. Say, yeah, 7th birthday. We have celebrated. You now say, okay, I'm done. This celebration. We now be there. Now pack everything. We are now 7 years old. Go wash it. Welcome to 7 years. Go wash
it. You know what time it is? You start. Yes, you was saying. Say you start washing. Yesterday, I was washing my car and Sophia came to me and said, Daddy, I want to wash car. I said, don't worry.
Don't worry, don't worry. The guy will call you a wash.
Daddy, I want to wash my car. I said, don't worry. He's shocking you. The guy will come, you will wash.
When you have wash,
you say, I need to get a wash.
But for now, don't worry, I will wash. Just stand there and watch me.
There you go. Because you expect the child to mature. 7 years. And I expect that I will just laugh. He said, now watch. I've been waiting for 7 years. Long way. The woman has planned it.
I said, the child was not cutting cake. Everybody has got to learn. She was recording it.
No, what else can be funny?
Oh, yeah. Go watch it.
I've been there 7 years.
Glory to God. You expect your child to grow. Amen. You know, then when we know that our mother is going to wash her school uniform, we'll play. Our middle name will be played. You know, when you are coming back, champion is coming back. Your knicker, you have used it to play everything.
From school on, you play it up, but when you know. What was that washing that? You know the miracle of your white stocking that is with sand, mud. How the next morning to be white? You don't know the miracle. And you begin to wash yourself. But he did his hand. The next morning when I was wearing his stockings, it was dirtier than the way it was. You know, like, I wanted to try you. Because you have to wash.
Hallelujah. They expected to mature. The same thing in the local church. That is maturity. So, in discipleship, who don't graduate will mature. What are you saying? Will mature. I will say the major activity is what? Teaching. Did you see that? Say, I taught them for the space. That's cool. He taught them, look at verses chapter 20, right? Verse 31. It says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you everyone night and day with tears. Did you see that? With tears. One. Mark that word, will come to it. Chapter 19. Back to 19. Verses 9. Okay, verses 8. It says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Did you see that? He was teaching 3 months. When divers were hardened and believed not, spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in one school, in the school of one Tynot. Did you see that? And continued for a space of 2 years. Did you see that? Amen. He was teaching them daily. Daily there will be morning and night. So he was teaching. So teaching is a major activity in discipleship. In Matthew 20, he says teaching them. Hallelujah. Teaching them. Look at Matthew 4. So teaching becomes very vital. Becomes very vital in discipleship. Very, very vital. Matthew 4. We'll get to this shortly. But let me show you something. In verses 19, he met the disciples in verse 19 and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do you see that? Hallelujah. In verse 21, he says, and going from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left their ship with their father and followed him. They followed him to go and do what? Is that what discipleship? Right? But if they followed him, it's called discipleship. We're going to see something. But in that discipleship, he didn't send them out immediately to go and start preaching. Isn't that? When he sent them out first, was it, you go down to chapter number 10, he sent them out. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Go to the world. Look at chapter 10. And he called unto him his 12 disciples and gave them power over unclean spirit to cast them out, heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And the names of the disciples were, and then in verse 5, these 12 disciples sent forth, saying to them, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, say, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did you see that? So he sent them in chapter 10, but what was he doing when he called them to himself in chapter 4? In chapter 5, verse 1, he taught them. Did you see that? So what was the first activity he had with them when he called them? What did they do? He taught them. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hope you're seeing it. They found them. In chapter 4, verse 23, he was preaching in Galilee. They were with him. And they heard him preach. So as he was preaching, they were hearing also. Did you see that? They were hearing. Then in chapter 5, he now taught them. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And said the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Did you see that? He taught his disciples and he taught them, saying. So were his disciples there? Yes. Okay, I'm following that. So the activity that they had was what? Teaching. He taught them. In chapter 6, he taught them prayer. Did you see that? He taught them prayer. He taught them 1 to 10, then they began to what? Go to preach. Okay, I'm following that. So,
expects you to mature, and teaching is a major activity. He didn't just say, "Oh, yeah, let's go and pray." No, he taught them. Remember, I told you, every other meeting must be taught. And I gave an illustration. You can't get someone saved who is a Muslim and then the person be praying without letting the person know how to pray. Be praying, you know, and be reading the Holy Book. You know, some people are so, even Christians, they call the Bible the Holy Book. Is there any bomb in your mouth that when you call Bible, it will blow your mouth?
The Holy Book. Or they will say the Good Book. What kind of nonsense talk is that? Let's Christian. Say the Good Book says. Stop saying it. See, I'll have time to teach that. Even Christian, the Good Book is written in the Good Book. She said there's a bomb in your mouth. That when you say Bible, you don't do boom. What's wrong? Because you want to be acceptable to the world. You're calling the Bible Good Book. The Good Book says,
amen. Amen. Bible. 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 How can you say the Good Book? Yes, sir. Are you normal? The Bible is Bible. It's the Holy Scripture. It stands out among every other books.
Hallelujah. It's not called Good Book. There are other good books. But it's Scripture. Holy Scripture. The holiest Scripture.
Glory to God. Don't fall for those nonsense traps. So where are we? So teaching is very vital. Glory to God. Glory to God. Very vital. I will find it in Paul too. Paul will tell Timothy to teach. To teach. In 2 Timothy, we saw chapter 2, right? Let's see chapter 4. Chapter 4 verse 2. Chapter 4 verse 2. It says, preach the word in the instant in season and out of season. Did you see that? Preach the word. There were a lot of things happening in their world. Remember, I told you in 2 Timothy, there was already false doctrine. False doctrine was already in Ephesus. In fact, that was something that Paul warned them of in Acts of Apostles chapter 20. Do you see that? I said that after my departure shall Jesus who come. Did you see that? So he had warned them. So in 2 Timothy, there were already false doctrines everywhere. People were already doing Shia nights, already doing, it's not a joke. Where did you see and already did bazaar? Some people now do harvest in church. Harvest. What's that they used to do in the village? You don't know. They are doing Shunai harvest. What is the difference between Shunai harvest and union festival? One is being done in the church, the other one is being done in the village square. You are doing bazaar in church. Going, gone. We're going to do it end of year party in my town's meeting. You know that chairman, Kai guess what they do.
So now they sing the same song they should do, sing in Village Square. Now they sing it in church. Pastor.
Cannot wear in church. They are doing no. Yeah. They now want to do youth harvest. Let's call someone that will come and talk about HIV AIDS in church. What kind of nonsense is that, please? You want HIV AIDS talk? Go and do it. You want 7 hours time? He said, okay. Now what is raining? People are now inviting gospel ministers. The only way they call them now is it gospel ministers? They call them what? Is it gospel ministers? No, there's another thing. There's another thing. Eh? Not gospel artists. Yeah? Gospel artists. Gospel artists are faded. Nobody calls them gospel artists. There's another. They want to put them in the pedestrian. Eh? No, there's another name. Ah! I'll just share. It's funny. Now, people are not inviting gospel artists to church. Why we invite them? It's not people who come to our church. It's part of PR strategy, okay? So, sir, let's invite gospel artists. We can invite Frank Praise, Elijah Praise, Elisha Praise, who again, John Praise, Sophia Praise, Wisdom Praise, Amen Praise, Joy Praise, I know Praise, She Praise. Praise God. Let's invite them. We now have one man of God, 30 artists. They will sing you one night. Paul says, be instant. So preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Did you hear that? So that means what is vital for spiritual growth is not those side distractions. It's the teaching of the word. So a church that is committed to the growth of its members will not be committed to side distractions. They will stick to the word. No side distractions. See, we've done music concerts. Yeah, we have done it. I can share you videos. We've done it before. So when I'm telling you something, I'm telling you the fact that we've done it, we've seen it all. Amen. Amen. Gamba was dancing with the handkerchief. We've seen it all. Amen. God, you know, so it's not, when I'm telling you, those things are side distractions. That means you could have used it to have prayer meeting or two. And you see those numbers in our show. You're going to need some leaders that will come. You say, we are praying all two leaders. You're supposed to do. They can't divide that way. So let's go and dance.
Did you grow?
No! Come on, hear the word. You'll be smiling. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we're able to deal with NEPA issues, then for generation in a good place, we'll be having all night study. We'll not
have teaching all night till the morning. Well, I fall like you teachers. We'll lay hands on you. We'll come up. Continue teaching. God will give you small bones. God will give you much bones. Your stomach will be full. You don't want your stomach to be full. He'll give you small. Then that you can sit up.
Nobody will ask you, did you see Jesus? Nobody will ask that. You fell, close up, see that. Continue church.
Amen. Amen. Go and tell us you saw Jimmy Reese singing. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. How do you follow me? Teaching. So any member of a local church that complains about teaching is not good. It's not good. You can sit down now and watch football. Now there's not extra time in normal time. You know what it means? You sit down, before you used to watch football 90 minutes. Now you are watching football 120 minutes. You know, half time, 15 minutes extra time. Half time, 15 minutes. You sat down, you did not sleep. You're not like me. I cannot trust alone and watching go ahead. I can sleep. I cannot start two minutes and I'll wake up and not check who won. I'm going to sit down. Don't watch the ball. Till the end. Don't sleep. Now they come to church. They are checking time. Many people are not asleep. You're looking for what? You're using style. No one bothers to know you are checking your phone.
You're looking at your phone.
How many minutes? Hey, Pastor, be fast now. You are not a serious person for good.
Yeah? Well, then, let's go and watch basketball. You can stay all night. You can stand all night. Your leg will not pain you, but let's pray 2 hours. I'm looking for work to kneel on. Kneel on me.
Nonsense. Hallelujah. No. We stay hearing God's word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a major activity. A major activity, in the local church. So, Jesus wanted his disciples to make disciples, yet he taught them. He taught them. Hallelujah. And you must never, ever neglect the process. That is the process. Teaching. Never any disciple, any member of local church that despises teaching of God's word is not good. Not good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we left off last week looking at what does discipleship entails, right? I would say a disciple is a follower. Let's deal with following. Is a follower. Matthew 4, verse 13. Let's see a few things there. Matthew 4, 13. Okay? Quite a lengthy study. But I'll go from verses 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So when you see fishers of men there, he tells them, follow me, I will make you catch men alive. That's what it means, fishers of men, to catch something alive. I'll make you fishers of men. And straight away they left their net and followed him. Do you see that? And in verse 21, when we read, he called. So follow, when say call, there is what kaleo. That means discipleship is what we've been called into in the new birth. When a man gets saved, he's been called into discipleship. Did you see that? So use that word follow. Follow me. I will make you. That word I will make you, we said it's maturity, spiritual growth. I will make you. I will make you is not what happens now, it's a process of time. Did you see that? Teaching. I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you read verse 20, what did they do? They followed him. They followed him. So, when he said he called them in verse 21, it shows you that discipleship is a call out to follow. A call out. That word kaleo, to call someone out. Kaleo. A call out to follow. To follow. So, when they left their father, what does it mean? Did it mean that they left their father and never went back home? No. It means that they now place priority on that call. So, discipleship is a call out to place priority on following. So, when he came back to verses 90 and he said, follow me. Follow me. I'm still wondering why the King James put it as follow me. Because the Greek rendering of that word doesn't just read it as follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder why they call it follow me. Elu. In the word dute opiso. Dute opiso. D-E-U-T-E O-P-I-S-O. Duty opiso. The word opiso is the word behind. To follow behind. You see that? Because I found out that some scriptures actually put the word behind or follow after me. But I didn't find it making sense. But the Greek rendering is the word duty opiso. Means to follow behind. To come behind. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to see where we find the word behind again, and it's used for discipleship. Hallelujah. Amen. Says the word to follow behind, to come after, to come right behind me. Come right behind me. So it shows that discipleship or how to follow is to be behind. Is that to be at the back, to copy. So discipleship is copying. Amen. How can you say you are doing an apprentice for tailoring and you see your master? Look up here. Your master is doing tailoring and is using sewing machine to do tailoring of clothes. You now, they now ask you to sew a clothes. You now want to carry shoemaker needle and shoemaker thread. I didn't want to sew a clothes. Does it work? Does it work? It shows you are not a disciple. Did you see that?
it shows you are not a disciple. Because if you are a disciple, you are going to do it like your master is doing it. Amen. Amen. That's discipleship. So the moment you are doing what your master is not doing, who, or if you are, when you are doing what the one who you are following after is not doing, it's called rebellion. If what you are doing is not what the one that is in front of you is doing, it's called rebellion. It's called opposition. And you need to see that.
It's to come in heaven. It's to come.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You are an apprentice of carpentry. And you see that they are using these, their carpenter's tape rule to measure. Now how do they come and measure? Is that they don't use that one? You know where to bring ruler. What kind of a disciple are you? A bad example. A bad disciple. Hallelujah. And we're going to see. You can have bad disciples. You can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go ahead. So you come behind. Jesus used that word epistle for Peter in Matthew chapter 16 quickly. Matthew 16. Look at what Peter was saying in verse 23. Okay, I'll start with verse 22. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter, his disciple, began to rebuke him. No, that is social media age. I want to put it like social media. And they did not drag your pastor out. You drag pastor on X. I wonder why they changed it from Twitter to X. I want to be Xing people. Amen. So you're not Xing. Let's X wisdom in the man of God. The liquid metal product. Now we got to X in there. Anyway, So you got to rebuke, and to rebuke means to stay in front of. We're going to see that. Amen. Two people should come. Volunteers, everyone come out. Fast. I want to give an example. Come. That's the point to be. No, come. And come. Sit down. Oh, yeah. You be in front. Be in front. Face them. You be at the back. No, you be at the back. Now, yes, rebuke. This is following. He is following her. Do you understand? Now, it doesn't make you be effective. Amen. But what Peter has done is to do like this. He left behind and came forward and stood in front of his master and was rebuking.
Opposition. Did you see that? He was supposed to be behind, he left and came in front. Opposition. One, rebellion.
That is what is on the social media. Rebellion.
Glory to God, that's what you have on social media. Rebellion. A lot of people don't know that even on the social media, you represent your local church.
You don't know.
Sometimes, when I want to know someone, how someone behaves, I don't actually look at the person. I'm going to look at this. You don't know.
Should be a reflection of your local church. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Very vital. So, that's what Peter was involved in here. He went in front and was rebuking his master. And look at what Jesus said. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me." Now, I'm going to tell you what really happened. If you read Mark's account, where we are going to read later on, is that it was in front of the people. So, Peter, Jesus was talking about his death. Let me give you this scenario, because Mark paints that scenario very well. Jesus was talking about his death. And then Peter came and took him. I said, "No, my son, took him somewhere." Like, I did not say, "This one, I'm not talking." So Jesus leaves him and turns to the congregation and rebukes Peter. Amen. He gave what is called delivery to Satan. Open rebuke. You know, not like Jesus said, "Peter, what's wrong? Did you dream that?" No, he doesn't say that. He didn't talk to Peter. Face the congregation and say, "Peter, get you behind me." And he rebuked him open. Hallelujah. We're going to see that one gets to rebuke.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. But here's what he did. So Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Opiso." Behind.
Get thee behind me, Opiso. Go to the back. Now, what does it mean? That's the word for discipleship. Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me, Satanos. We're going to see how that one gets to rebuke.
Hallelujah. So he's not saying Peter is the devil himself. No. Though he's saying, he's also saying behind the action of Peter is the
person, the devil, right? And but the action of Peter is called Satanos. Isn't that? It's called Satanos. So he said, "Get thee behind me." You see that?
Hallelujah. So that means, Peter, you should be a disciple, not an opposition. Do you see that? Amen. Follow that. Let's see a few other things. So the place of discipleship for disciple is behind. Behind. Another word that also is used to describe the word follow, which is actually a verb, is the word akolotio. Akolotio. A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. It's a verb. Akolotio. I'm going to give how Theas defined it. According to Theas Greek lexicon, it is used for one who precedes another, to join him as an attendant or to accompany him. That's according to Theas. One who precedes another, to join him as an attendant or accompany him. Did you see that? Theas also said it involves to copy the one who is ahead. It involves to copy the one who is ahead. Now, when the word akolotio is used, Ilia word in ancient Greek, it is used for how you cleave steadfastly to one, like how you cleave steadfastly to another and to conform wholly to his examples, both in living and in dying. I'll use it again. He said it is used in their world for one, for how you cleave steadfastly to another, conform wholly to his examples, both in living and in dying, even at the point of death. You are still going to stay with that example. So that word akolotio is a strong word in their day. Hallelujah. And Jesus used that word akolotio, opiso. That is to say, follow behind. And that is to say, well, you know what akolotio, opiso, to follow behind, it means not just to just be behind me,
like the word duty opiso. It means not just to be behind, but to copy. You read that? To copy. To copy steadfastly.
Amen. Not just to be behind, but to
copy and to be steadfast following. So it's active. Akolotio opiso. You read that? To is active word, is an active word. Not just passive where you are just standing behind, or it's like you are going to be actively following. Doing what the person is doing. So no, I know some people tell you, I can't be a photocopy of anyone. No, that statement is a photocopy statement. Because you are not the person to say it. So you are copying somebody. Hallelujah. Like I refuse to be a photocopy, I'm the original that is in the original that is in me. The original, that statement you are saying is a copy statement. The school you attend, all you are doing is somebody's knowledge you acquire. You don't know the laws of thermodynamics. Are you the one that innovated it? Not somebody's knowledge. They're just to copy that knowledge into your head. The Pythagoras theorem.
Hypotenuse square is equal to opposite square plus adjacent square or square root. It's somebody's theorem you have in your head.
Then you know, sir, I know the formula for calculating circumference. Somebody's theorem.
This is a photocopy.
You are a photocopy, you are a carbon copy. Even the way you walk, look at the way you walk. You think your walk is only neutral. Even your bag inside, your cap. Yeah? No, I'm the original. At least when you went to Barbie Saloon, you pointed to the calendar, is that style I want? Your cap.
Amen. Glory to God. Nobody has ever bagged what is in calendar. We only see those stars in calendar. Hallelujah. It never came out in reality. You go to Babi Salon, they say, Bab me tags in. Tags in. Whenever I don't give you one mark, can't say, yeah. Carve it. Amen. Matthew 10:38. Akolotio opiso. Matthew 10:38. Are you there? He said, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me. Did you see that? Akolotio opiso. And followeth after me is not worthy of me. Did you see that? Followeth after me. Did you see that? So that is discipleship. To follow. Matthew 16:24. Back to Peter. Matthew 16:24. He says that to Peter. 24. Okay, sorry. 23 was to Peter. 24. And Jesus said to his disciples. Did you see that? He says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Did you see that? Follow me. Akolotio. John 12:26. So it's active. Following is active. John 12:26. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Did you see that? Follow me, Akolotio. Look at chapter 21 verse 22. John 21:22. Okay, following me. John 21:22. He says, Jesus said to him, he says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Amen. Amen. Other references where you find the word Akolotio is Matthew 4:20. Matthew 4:22. Please, get that down. Matthew 4:20. Matthew 4:22. Matthew 4:25. Matthew 8:1. Matthew 8:10. Matthew 9:9. Matthew 9:19. Matthew 19:27. Luke 5:11. Luke 5:27. I'll take it again. Matthew 4:20. Matthew 4:22. Matthew 4:25. Matthew 8:1, Matthew 8:10, Matthew 9:9, Matthew 9:19. Matthew 19:27, Luke 5:11, Luke 5:27. Now let's open to Mark 9:38 quickly. Mark 9 verse 38. Let's see this. Hope you understand what I'm teaching you. Hallelujah. Says, and John answered him, saying, you know what John said? He said, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. I will forbid him because he followeth not us. Did you see that? He said, we saw one casting out devils in your name. They went down to evangelism. And someone cast out devils, but he was not part of them. Did you see that? So he used the word akonotio because he followed not us. I didn't say he was not actively with us. Did you see that? But we found him preaching in your name. Probably are saying that. Hallelujah. So it's an active word. Amen. Amen. So that becomes a reciter. So a major responsibility of disciple, of a disciple, is that of following actively. Actively. That is in activity. Must be following actively. He must be taking the full step of the Lord. Must be taking the full step of the Lord. Now, how do you take the full step of the Lord? Through his name. So you have to be taking the full step of your pastor. Through his men. Through his men. And these men will not be men anywhere, but leaders of the local church. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with that next week. Hallelujah. So in following, you imitate. You copy. That's the active word there. You click. That is, you are copying. Paul will not use that word. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, use the word mimetes, to copy, imitate, to imitate. Says, I can't be a copycat. You are a copycat. Okay, you are a copy believer. Yeah? That is what life is. There is never a unique person that is born. I think it is. Even Jesus, that is Son of God, that is God, became a man. He didn't use any word of his own. He was quoting Moses. Jesus, that is Son of God, he didn't live from his head. God copied man. He used Moses' words. He used the word of David. He used the word of Isaiah. You know what? Amen. He was on the cross. He said, Eloi, Eloi, the man of Asani. I got my come out, he was reading Moses. I mean, he was reading David. You don't know? Amen? We don't know. You don't know. Hallelujah. So there's nothing like, I am the unique me that is in the world. The me in me is the only me that exists. That's good for motivation. There was a motivational speaker that motivated the goats to go and eat Igbo, that took him into the forest to go and fight the lion. It's motivation. The you will become. Yes, sir. You will confront your fears.
Yes, sir. And the goats went into the forest to go and confront the fears.
Amen. And the ghost confronted his fears. Amen. Now confront your fears. Glory to God. Okay, let's continue. Let me pity some people today. So that's the word. 1 Corinthians 11. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 11. Guess my time is up. Since. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Oh my God, I didn't get to where I want to get to. Okay, let's see this. 1 Corinthians 11, I say, be a follower of me. Okay, let me just be done with followers. Flat, we'll take up for rebuke and some other ones next week. Say, be a follower of me, even I, as I also, I'm sorry, be a follower of me, even as I also am of Christ. You see that? Followers, mimetics, an imitator. Do you see that? Imitator. He has told that to them in chapter 4 verse 16 earlier. 1 Corinthians 4 16. Look at what he said to them. He says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. This is discipleship. He's telling this, the church where he's the pastor. He says, be ye followers of me. You're not supposed to follow men in the world. You're supposed to follow your pastor. What about me? A good disciple follows his pastor. Glory to God. He tells them, be ye what? Followers of me. Very strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at, for you to know that there is disciples, look at verse 14. It says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Is that, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Did you see that? Be ye followers of me. So you follow your pastor. Online, offline, your pastor. Glory to God. So Paul warns them. So I warn you, follow me. And he helps your Christian life. You're following 10 people at the same time. No. That's not Christianity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:1 uses the same word. Take that down. We'll look at all this next week. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Hebrews 6:12. So, in being a follower of your pastor or imitating your pastor implies you have to wear the badge of your pastor. You have to wear the badge of your local church. Wearing the badge of your local church doesn't mean you will sew clothes and put Saint Patrick's Church. Amen. That's not what you need to wear the badge. The point is, some people start sewing clothes and putting Saint Patrick's Church. I'm wearing the badge of my local church. No, that is not the badge I'm talking about. In your attitude. Amen. Amen. In your character. You must wear the badge of your pastor. Must wear the badge of the teaching of the local church. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. You must stay with that. I'm going to tell us some other things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even as we get towards the end of our teaching next week. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:7. Huh? Should we look at this today? Okay. No. Just write it down. We'll look at it next week. 2 Thessalonians 3:7 and 3:9. 2 Thessalonians 3:7. 2 Thessalonians 3:9. Okay, let me just show you. 2 Thessalonians 3:7 says, for ye yourself know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly amongst you. Is that? You ought to know how to follow us. How to follow. Verses 9. It says, not because we have power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. So we have that duty to follow. Hebrews 13:7. Hebrews 13:7. In Hebrews 13:7, he uses the noun of that word. Mimiomai. Hebrews 13:7. Mimiomai. He says here, he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Do you see that? Mimiomai. To follow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. He says here. He tells Timothy, he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecuted that I endured. But out of them the Lord delivered me. Did he say that? Delivered me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, but continue thou, in verse 14, in the things which thou hast learned. So, what does he call his doctrine? His manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came to him at Antioch and at Iconium. Hallelujah. So he tells him to follow this, continue it. Hallelujah. So the life of the disciple is the life of following. You follow the mannerism of your pastor's life. You follow his teaching. So especially, so how do you know the mannerism of your pastor's life is via his teaching? I'm not telling you to start understudying your, how your pastor used to walk. No, 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 that's irrelevant. But his teaching. Hallelujah. His teaching. You follow it. That's a good disciple. A good disciple spends time with his pastor's message. If you listen to any other thing more than your pastor's message, you're not a disciple. A man who says, this is my pastor, my father, you're not listening to the message. Ha. Sorry, you're a destitute. You are an outcast. Hallelujah. This is not a job. Very good. You know, you are an audio disciple. You know, this is not audio everything. You are an audio disciple. Disciple. Audio. A re-disciple. Listen to his family. Follow the instructions. Follow the all that in the coming weeks.
Hallelujah. Hope to round up this by next 2 weeks. Amen. Amen. Say, I'm a good disciple. I know to follow well. I know to follow my pastor well. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not rebellious. I'm not heady. I follow well. And I follow actively. Hallelujah. Praise God.